Thank you, Leona. So the parable we are gifted with today is about a widow who is so persistent that she convinces a corrupt judge to do the right thing and grant her justice simply by being relentless and annoying him. Now, I love a great story about a woman of strength overcoming obstacles, so I was excited to see that this was the lectionary text for this morning. We don't know a lot about this woman, just that she is a widow seeking justice for being wronged somehow. We don't know what kind of justice she seeks, but perhaps it's because that is not the point. The point is that the justice that she deserves is finally granted to her in spite of the corruption of the judge who is responsible for making this decision. She visits this judge every day, likely growing more and more demanding every time the judge denies her request, because the more literal translation of the judge's response is, "Because this widow causes trouble for me, I will give her justice so that she may not in the end give me a black eye by her coming." Clearly, this woman was not going to be pushed around. If anything, she would be the one doing the pushing. And the judge realizes that he will have absolutely no peace until he finally gives her what she wants. So he gives in to the widow's demands. Wow. Wouldn't it be great if we could get all the corrupt judges and elected officials to change rulings in favor of justice just by being relentless and annoying them to death? I can think of quite a few policies and rulings that I'd like to see changed. Now, to be sure, being relentless and even annoying like the widow is actually part of the strategy of community organizing, protesting, and advocacy that we see used in our country and around the world. Be loud, be strong, be persistent enough, and those in power can't ignore the collective voice for justice any longer, and they have to grant what's being asked for. There is a long history of this kind of resistance actually being effective. However, it often takes years and years and sometimes years of persistence. And in the meantime, it can seem like we're just going at it over and over again and getting nowhere. The widow must have felt like that for a while too. She kept going to the judge to state her case, and she kept beating down the door and kept getting no for an answer. Over and over and over again, she was turned away. It must have been incredibly discouraging for her. But then one day, she goes back to the courthouse, probably expecting a no again, and instead, she gets a yes. The judge is so sick of seeing this woman, of her coming and bothering him and making a scene, that he finally relents. How excited she must have been to finally receive what she had worked so relentlessly for. Justice is finally granted. I think the reason Jesus told this parable was because he wanted to give people hope. Hope to people who were feeling like God's justice wasn't coming. Or at least it wasn't coming quickly enough. Jesus sees that people around him are discouraged, wondering whether God hears their cries for justice and restoration. And so he sets up this parable to create a comparison and an explanation. The hope of this parable lies in the fact that even this awful, corrupt judge gives justice to this woman whom he has no love and respect for. So how much more will our loving God grant justice to God's beloved, whom God deeply cares about? Jesus knows that we are caught in an in-between time, knowing that God has promised new life in the kingdom of justice and joy, and yet we are still surrounded by injustice and corrupt power that harms people instead of helping them. We see the rich get richer and the poor get poorer as the wealth gap grows ever wider. We see wealthy corporations exploiting the working class, exploiting the environment. We see resistance to fighting climate change and racism and sexism and homophobia and transphobia that continue to thrive in our country. We have every reason to be discouraged. But Jesus encourages us to not lose hope because justice isn't here yet. Justice is coming, and it will come just as we were promised. Love and justice win in the end. The question is, can we, like the widow, be faithful, courageous, and relentless in the meantime? What would relentless faith and courage look like anyway? Well, if you heard similar things that I did during the formative years of your faith, your first thought might be that relentless faith is blind trust in God. For years, that's what I thought it meant to be faithful, to just say, well, I don't understand it. I wish things were different, but God has got it handled, so everything must be okay, even if I'm not happy with it right now. Now, if that is working for you, I am not here to tell you to stop trusting God in that way, but what I can tell you is that is not actually the picture of faithfulness that is painted by this parable. The widow's relentless public, dare I say, harassment of this judge is our example of faithfulness. This kind of faithfulness that Jesus describes is not about being pious or quiet. It's about being bold and brazen, like a relentless widow banging on a judge's door, demanding justice and threatening corruption with a black eye. This is the kind of faith that won't take no for an answer. It's the faith of an obnoxious widow with a strong right hook. Now, we aren't expected to just quietly trust and hope that things are worked out. We are encouraged to keep fighting for justice and actually have it out with God when injustice continues to win. This is the portrait of faithful prayer that Jesus paints for us in this story. After all, the moral given is that this is a parable about why we should always pray and never give up. But the kind of prayer demonstrated in this parable is a prayer of lament and brutal honesty. Jesus says, "Will not the Lord grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night?" Jesus expects prayers that are crying out to God in frustration. That we yell at God when we are upset that justice isn't here yet, that we lament loudly and publicly, letting everyone know how frustrated we are, raising our hands and voices and saying, "How long, Lord? How long? We know you said you love us, but how long? Prove it to us and give us justice already." There's nothing that we can pray or say that is too dramatic or intense for God to handle, even though we may not be used to being that dramatic and intense in our prayers. Just look at the Psalms. Half of the Bible's 150 Psalms contain laments, and the psalmist does not mince words. In fact, half the time when these laments come up in the lectionary texts for Sunday mornings, we wonder whether or not we should even put them in the service or read the full text because the language is so strong and sometimes really negative. Yet, this is an example of faithful prayer, perhaps one we could all get a little better at cultivating in our own lives and perhaps even in our worship services. So, in case it's been a while since you've read some Psalms of Lament or Psalms that contain lament, I've pulled out a few glimpses of what we might find there. "My bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping, and I drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, and they fail because of all my foes. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide your face in times of trouble? Save and deliver me from all who pursue me. or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. The wicked man lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, God will never notice. He covers his face and never sees. Break the arm of that wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness, that the world would not otherwise be found out. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, I find no rest. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, O Lord. Confront them. Bring them down with your sword. Rescue me from the wicked. And that's just like from the first like 17 Psalms. Now, this kind of prayer, or what may feel like angry negativity and desperation, may be kind of uncomfortable for those of us who were taught to suppress our anger and keep it positive. It might be difficult to think about this as a form of faithfulness and a form of good prayer to God, but perhaps there's a reason that there are so many laments in Scripture. Perhaps there is a reason that Jesus calls us to lament and express our hurt and anger to God in healthy ways. Maybe the issue is that the minute we stop lamenting injustice, the minute we stop lamenting the things that are wrong in this world, we lose our motivation to fight against it, and we risk becoming complacent and apathetic. When we stop feeling upset or angry or sad, we can start to feel nothing and lose hope that things will ever change. At least when we're lamenting, we are expressing that things are not as they should be and that we believe God should do something about it. When I think about the people I've spent the most time lamenting to in my life, they're the people I care about most. And the people that I know love me deeply. I've lamented to them about the frustrations in my life because I trust them and because they care about the fact that I'm going through something difficult. And trusting those friends or family members with my feelings and struggles deepens my relationships with them and deepens my faith in their love for me, because I feel heard and cared for, even if it doesn't fix whatever issue I'm moaning about. In the same way, I think when we lament to God, we don't harm a relationship with God. God's not like, why are you complaining to me? Instead, it deepens our relationship, and it increases our faith that God cares and that justice and love are, in fact, coming for us and for this whole world. And that is the message within the message of this parable, that God loves us and cares deeply for us. God is not corrupt. God is not unjust or unresponsive. God is faithful and loving and caring and constant and here for us. God longs with us for justice and love to prevail and promises that they will. So when we are overwhelmed by the corrupt judges of this world, by insurmountable mountains and obstacles, unjust systems that seem impossible to dismantle, personal struggles, we can take refuge in the God who loves us. And we can receive rest, encouragement, and strength to keep at it. And we do so knowing that God is able to receive all of our frustration, all of our anger and all our lament in the vastness of her loving embrace. So, as a response to the sermon this morning, I want to invite us to a practice of lament that's hopefully a little more comfortable than loudly lamenting in the middle of town. We're just going to take a few moments of silence after the sermon here for you to either write down on a piece of paper or silently name to yourself in your head the things that you are lamenting today. Then at the end of our time of silence, we will listen to our song of response, Voices Together, number 434, O God, Our Refuge. And I invite you to turn to that a while so that you're ready when the song comes. This is a new song to us, but the lyrics are deep and meaningful, and they help us reflect on God's love for us and how God can be our refuge. And the recording that we'll listen to is sung by Christina Yoder, who is Beth Yoder's daughter-in-law, the wife of Greg Yoder, who grew up in this church. And the music is by the Walking Roots Band. So you can listen to the words and soak them in after our time of silence, knowing that God loves you and receiving rest and encouragement and strength to keep going. So let us enter a time of silence together and reflect on the things that we are lamenting this morning.